This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
We live in a country that is based on capitalism.
True.
I travel all around the world, Dr. Ken, and when I tell you, based on my experiences, this is like the number one country that cares. Like, everything is about money. Yep. Everything.
I've told people in the past, you have to be careful of what you complain about and what you use as a tool, because other people will take it and use it in the wrong way.
Live at The Avenue, here's Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
You are listening to Truth Unfiltered, as you just heard. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is Sunday, February 22nd.
You like 2026. Like how I direct the music and everything?
Oh, is that what you were doing? You were being a conductor?
Yes.
I thought you were having another episode, Dr. Ken.
Wow. Way to bash the disabled, you know, like me.
When you're having an episode, it's just best I let you just navigate it yourself. You
know? Oh my God. I can't believe she did that. Evan,
it's okay.
Excuse me, I'm being melodramatic. May I?
Oh, carry on.
Okay.
All right.
It's hour two.
So, Dr. Ken, I'm going to ask that you pause for a moment because
keep ruffling.
I know that as a father, as a husband, as an award-winning talk radio host, those are a lot of roles. Mm. And sometimes you have to compartmentalize. Sometimes it has to be multiple hats. So when we talk about this, I just want you to pause for a moment and get complete with which hat or hats you want to put on as you react. So for nearly a quarter century, a mother has been asking the same question that, as far as I'm concerned, way too many Black families in America, and including Wisconsin, have had to ask. Did anyone really look for my child? And tonight, that mother is saying that the investigation has failed her daughter. She says the Milwaukee Police Department has failed her family, and she is demanding answers. So Alexis Patterson disappeared on May 3rd, 2022. She was last seen walking toward High Mount Elementary School. She was 7 years old. Her stepfather, Laurent Bourgois, I'm sorry, I'm totally not pronouncing that correctly, reportedly walked her part of the way.
Bourgois.
He later died and had ties to criminal activity. Alexis has never been found, and the case remains an open, cold case. Now her mother believes a girl living in Ohio may be Alexis, but she claims, the mother is claiming, that the DNA testing was mishandled. And so this lawsuit, Dr. Ken, that Ms. Patterson is about to file alleges that the Milwaukee Police Department, there was misconduct, there was coercion toward the family, the Milwaukee Police Department mishandled the investigation and created reputational harm. And that's what this lawsuit is alleging. So with that,
mm-hmm.
considering overall missing Black children cases compared to missing white women cases, because a lot of times we use it as the benchmark. What are your thoughts?
Couple things I want to correct. First thing is I want to say that I feel bad for anyone who loses a child, especially, I don't know, even come out right, especially a girl, because I have daughters. And so that disheartens me. I remember I was a police officer during that time at the rank of police officer, and I was working in District 7 day shift, late shift and day shift. And so I remember being assigned, you know, on certain days to be there with the Criminal Investigation Bureau as they followed up leads. These are all the leads we have. This group is following those. This is following those. So they were pretty thorough. We remember leads we had that said And I remember this one, and you know, God forgive me. If you're sensitive, I'll wait 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There was a report that she was buried in a cemetery. And there's only one way to go check in a cemetery. You have to go digging. And I remember that day because my uniform was full of mud and my boots and shoes were soaked and it was raining. And we did checks on pretty much everything. Now, I can't speak for the whole investigation, but the portions. And I really didn't work it. That was like that one day and then I was done. And I don't remember much of any of it anyway because I wasn't in the Criminal Investigation Bureau. But I think what people need to understand is, first, you can't compare one missing to another or one kidnapping to another because each of them has their own fact pattern. They have their own chronological, logical, relevant events that would make it a legal case that are different. So it's really difficult to compare. They found this kid and not that kid. They found this person, not that person. They did their job here, but they didn't do their job there. That's one. The other one is, at some point, she is suing for mental anguish and reputational harm. Milwaukee police state they haven't received a notice of intent of a lawsuit, but confirm that her disappearance remains an open cold case. Well, at what point, I don't understand why. I understand as a parent, it's your prerogative to do what you want when you want. But at some point, the police focus on everybody in the family and everybody that's secondary to the family, all the friends, the neighbors, everybody. There's a whole process that you go through when you investigate something like that, especially a missing. We're watching it play out with Nancy Guthrie in Tulsa. So it's methodical and you check everybody. You can't tell them, no, don't check my husband, when we check everybody, every single person. And so she has a right to sue. I'll give her that. But everything has to be looked into. I had no hands on that case.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to, because I didn't interrupt, because you started off saying there were two things you wanted to correct. So what did I say incorrectly?
Well, it wasn't that it was incorrect. It was something that people should understand is that you can't compare.
Okay, well, you said incorrect.
Oh, you can't compare like a white case. Incredible. You can't compare a white missing case to a black missing case because each of them has their own set of, they have their own fact pattern. And so to say
it's
you
not
did.
It's about comparing a black case versus a white case. It's more so whether or not missing black children cases receive the same urgency as other missing child cases.
But we can't
why
do that.
Or why
we,
not?
We can't compare because each one has their own. If you're missing and I have zero information and zero set of facts and no follow-up, no DNA, you're going to say, well, they didn't do anything on that case because they didn't have any evidence. They don't have anything to follow up on. So
you're saying that we cannot compare cases based on racial identity because it's each treated on an individual basis?
Because it's too base. It's too basic, right? If I only compare you to a man and I only use gender, well, I don't think that's fair to either of you. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. You can't compare something at a base level like race. I don't know if you can say that because I don't think you have enough information. Now, once you start going into the investigation, once you start comparing who the detectives were, once you start comparing how much time per day they spent on it, then you can make that argument. But just to generally say black versus white, I don't think you can say that.
Evan, please tell me it's time to go to commercial break because I need to collect my thoughts before I respond to Dr.
Mm-hmm.
I need to remove. Is it time for a break, Evan?
Yes.
Okay. Because I can't believe you just said that, Dr. Ken.
Well, but okay.
When we come back, I'm going to have a response, because right now I have to remove, I have to go through what we call emotional regulation. You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered. We want to hear from you as well. Our Citing Unlimited talk and text line is 855-616-1620. When we come back, I'm going to respond to Dr. Ken's perspective that you should not be comparing missing black children's cases to missing white people's cases, because it's an individual thing. Wow. We'll be back.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Denise Thomas, 19 minutes after the hour. 855-616-1620 is the Citing Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Do you have any comments about the Alexis Patterson case that's going on? And now Denise Thomas.
I had to breathe, y'all. I love me some Dr. Ken, but he almost, well, no, but in addition to me loving Dr. Ken, he just almost gave me cardiac arrest. So if you're just tuning in, we were discussing the missing case of Alexis Patterson, who went missing May 3rd, 2022. She was last seen walking toward High Mount Elementary School at the age of 7. She's never been found. This case remains an open cold case. Now, I asked Dr. Ken to provide his perspective based on the fact that he is a retired law enforcement officer. One of Dr. Ken's perspectives, and I'm respectfully going to respond, challenges the idea that missing person cases are treated strictly as individual cases and therefore should not be discussed through a racial lens. Now, Dr. Ken, I understand and I respect the perspective that every missing person case should be evaluated individually. That ideally the law enforcement and the media should treat every case that way. We all gone well. That is not the case. So let me just give some statistics here, okay?
But can you prove it?
Black children are disproportionately represented among missing cases. Black children in this country make up about 13 to 14% of the population, yet they account for roughly one third or more of missing children cases in this country. In 2022, over 36% of missing girls and women were black, despite black women representing only about 14% of the female population. Advocacy organizations report that nearly 40% of missing person cases involve people of color, including a large proportion of black children. So statistically, the issue isn't hypothetical. Black children and women disappear. And let me say it differently. Black women and black children, because I don't want to say black children and women, and you're thinking I'm talking about black children and black women disappear at rates higher than their share of the population.
Okay.
Number two, and then I'll pass the mic back. The media coverage is dramatically uneven. You have multiple academic studies that have documented the disparities in media coverage. So white children represented about 54% of missing child cases, yet they received 88% of media coverage. Black children made up about 35% of the cases, only referenced 7%. Another study analyzing national media news outlets found that black missing persons were significantly less likely to appear in the news compared to their actual rates of disappearance. So the phenomenon has been widely described as missing white women syndrome, which is a term that is coined by journalist Gwen Ifill to describe the disproportionate attention to missing white women and girls compared to black missing children, women. That is a fact. So it absolutely needs to be a factor, because missing person cases are not treated individually based on these stats and based on these facts. And I'm looking right at you.
Okay. So first of all, That's true as it relates to the media. Now, your first argument, put it in context. Why are they missing? What was the outcome? When you look at somebody that's missing, and if you use race as the as one of the factors while you're doing the missing, you're going to miss much of what you need in order to find the person. You have to remain unbiased and open to figure out why. So how do you do that? How do you look at the fact pattern of when a person's missing? When you remove, let me think of somebody else because that's going to be a lawsuit. When when young Kenneth Harris is missing, they have to look at, they use what's called the trap method. It's a legal research thing. So when you go through and you do an investigation, you have to look at what property was identified, items are involved. You get the things, the relationships, determine what are the relationships between the parties? Who do they hang out with? Who do they talk to? Who are the neighbors? The actions, what did they do? He said he took her to school and then dropped her off and then she disappeared. You're the last person to see them. That's part of the relationship. Then time and place. What time of day was it? Whose jurisdiction was it in? What time did the events happen? What time did you dress her? What time? Like all those things play a part. Then how do you remedy this? How do you identify who did this? Those are things that you have to look at and you have to follow regardless of who the person is. Absolutely.
Let me be clear. I'm not arguing because that's why I prefaced Dr. Ken.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
No, I said go ahead.
Did you want to wear in this conversation?
I can wear multiple hats.
I'm not arguing that investigators intentionally treat cases differently. And you also talked about the media. Well, first of all, the media, they play to me the most significant role because without media coverage. So, for example, if the media wasn't covering Savannah Guthrie's mother missing case, no one would even know about it.
But the media is covering it and they haven't found her. So,
but what I'm saying is that the systemic factors are media coverage, public perception, socioeconomic bias, and assumptions about, oh, well, they probably just ran away. This is what impacts how missing person cases are treated. So I'm not saying that.
Treated by who?
The police department intentionally.
Treated by who?
They have to then reallocate their resources based on who's getting the most attention. It is a fact, Dr. Ken. I literally gave you stats and facts.
But the missings aren't in context for me. So we're just saying they're missing, but you don't know why.
When you examine national statistics and media patterns, there is strong factual evidence.
I got that. I agree with that.
Cases receive the same level of public attention or urgency.
But that is media. I'm not talking about media.
It's not about. But what I'm saying is that then investigators, i.e., the police department, they then are forced to put more attention because of these systemic, and I'm just going to say it, these systemic racial patterns that then result in cases being treated differently. That is a fact.
In some cases, but I don't think you can generalize that across everybody missing. You can't.
Every missing child.
You can't. They didn't cover every missing child.
Regardless of race. Every missing child, regardless of race, should receive equal visibility, equal urgency, and resources.
But
and based on the facts that I just shared.
That's cute, that but we know that can't happen. You know that can't happen that's to cute? Anybody.
That's cute?
Listen to what I'm saying. Missing Put children. It in context. Don't do that. Put it in context. You know exactly what I mean. Nobody can do that. You can't give equal treatment to anything. No police department can. No media can. And part of the issue is because we don't run media. We're not in charge of media. We're not in leadership. We're not managers, directors, and so we're not represented. So they do what resonates with them. And if they're predominantly white, then predominantly white people are the ones that go to the top of the. I totally agree with that. I'm not arguing that point, but I can't support statistics that I don't know what context those missings are. I can't lump all missings together. I don't even know the outcomes of those missings. Of those cases they stated, what were the outcomes? We don't know any of that. So to make just a generalization, that's
I'm not making generalization.
I'm speaking for me. I'm not speaking for you. I'm not speaking for you. I'm making my statement. I'm not making it against you.
Should cases like this be reviewed by independent investigators after a certain number of years?
I'm sure it's been already, but absolutely yes. Absolutely. Yes. There should be fresh eyes on those cases at least once a year.
Do you believe, and I'm going to ask you, Dr. Kim, but then I want to hear from our valued listeners. Do you believe Alexis Patterson's case received the same urgency as other missing child cases?
I cannot make that decision because I was not a part of the case and I didn't follow it at that level. So to make a general statement about that makes no sense to me. I'm not going to do
I'm
it.
I'm not making a general statement. I'm asking a question. We're having a conversation.
But for me to make a general statement as to whether or not I believe they gave it coverage, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at it.
Somebody on the Citing Unlimited talk and text line said Alexis has been missing since 2002.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to add? Because
nope.
That's what I reported.
Nope.
Now I'm saying somebody on the talk and text line said she's been missing since 2002. If I said 2022, that obviously was an error, but she's been missing since 2002. So, dear listener, what else do you have to say? Because what we're not going to do is, and we tend to do that. We want to.
We just make corrections, but we don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I said that she's been missing, it's a cold case, and I might have said 2022, to type. She's been missing since 2002.
Ha, gotcha.
Like, how do you feel about this?
Ha, gotcha.
Because now you're deflecting. And you're picking the wrong person to do that with. 855-616-1620 is our Citing Unlimited talk and text line. This is however you feel. This is a very significant issue that takes place in this country. Because again, I'm not giving you fact. I'm not giving you feelings. I'm giving you facts in terms of the number of missing cases that receive attention, thorough investigations, and there is a pattern. Black children are disproportionately represented among missing cases. That's a fact. Now, whether you want to describe it as a coincidence, that is a fact. And this is a show that is focusing on Black and brown people in the state of Wisconsin, in the city of Milwaukee. And whether you identify as Black or not, everybody has been a child at one point in their life. Many of us have children. And many of us are good people. So when we're covering topics like this, and your response is, Alexis has been missing since 2002, that hurts my heart. Because it continues to give the impression that Black lives don't matter. And for a lot of people, they get triggered when they hear that. Try being one. Try being one.
855-616-1620 is the Citing Unlimited WTMJ talking text line. When we come back, I'm going to let Denise hit the talking text line. And there's also some comments in the YouTube chat. You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. She is the effective communication coach, Denise Thomas. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Truth Unfiltered.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. Denise Thomas, Dr. Ken Harris, 855-616-1620. Somebody on the YouTube chat said, like, do you need respect or submission? That makes no sense to me. So I'm going to pass on that. You got something on the talking text line, Denise?
Let me see. Jeff says the media will always play to their target audience. Did you read that already, or was that on off during the break?
That was during the break.
So, yes. So Jeff says from Wauwatosa, the media will always play to their target audience. So if their target audience is of a certain background, they will focus on stories that will get them to continue watching. If nobody watches that media, then that media goes away. That is a huge factor. No disagreement here.
Yep. And that's why we keep hearing about Nancy till it finally went away.
Well, we said that last during our show last Sunday. Yep. Somebody was like, why does Nancy Guthrie get so much coverage? Mm-hmm. And we literally said what Jeff just sent us on the talking text line.
Money, 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 money.
And we played that song.
Joe did.
So, and, yeah, Jeff, no argument here.
And when you start repeating yourself, poof, they're gone. Just as fast as they showed
up.
Now,
with that said, the reality is that when the media, and that's what I was sharing with Dr. Ken, when the media starts to place more focus on a certain demographic because of the majority of the media viewers and the sponsors of the advertisements, which ultimately is the revenue for this multi-trillion dollar industry being the media, it doesn't make it right. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right. But money drives everything in the world. It drives, ironically, it even drives poverty.
I'm not going to say the world, because this country, America, it is the epitome of capitalism. And as somebody who has traveled, again, I've traveled quite a bit over the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see money. I'm just going to unfilter my truth. I don't see money worshipped the way that it's worshipped here in the United States, in other countries.
I would.
Like people.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I would challenge a portion of your. I'm trying to say. I would add a portion of information to your belief and your knowledge to watch the documentary Poverty Inc. It is the most eye-opening, real documentary I've ever watched about poverty in another country, in the Caribbean, in Africa. All those things. And really, I think what it'll do is solidify how you feel about the fact that America is only about money, and you don't see it at the level here anywhere else in the world. But even those places that are poor, it's because of things we do here. And I just found it fascinating.
I live in a country where every decision that is made, especially when it comes to the government. I mean, we led with that. Mm-hmm. 2.5 billion surplus. And we've got our government trying to figure out what's the best way to utilize those monies. Mm. And my point is this. Everything that we do is based on money.
Yep.
To the point where you have a generation of people who are basically like, I'm not going to waste my time going to a post-secondary institution of higher learning and incur close to a quarter of $1 million in student loan debt when I could be a social media influencer.
Hmm.
I'm not worried about the lack of or the deficit of healthcare professionals, i.e. physicians, anesthesiologists, therapists. I'm not worried about that because I'm making $60,000 a month just being a social media influencer. Everything in this country is about money.
Even when
the
you
car
go to school.
I drive, the neighborhood I live in.
The school
the
you
clothes
go to.
The clothes I wear.
Yeah. Although you are pretty fly.
There's 52 weeks in the year. And if you ask your employer for more than two as part of your personal time off, You better be ready to work 5 years before you even think about getting 3 weeks out of those 52. The average American, the professional worker that is exempt from overtime, i.e. salaried employee, average 70 to 80 hours a week.
I'm not taking that job.
Mm-mm. A lot of people, but I'm saying there's so much emphasis to the point where I'd rather report or I'd rather not report on a human being that is a child that happens to be black because nobody cares and nobody will watch it. So let me focus on Savannah Guthrie's mother. That's what I'm saying. To the point where if it's a missing child, if it's not going to give ratings, then why are we talking about it? That's what I'm saying.
And if her mother hadn't said she was suing, would they have even talked about it?
Exactly. Because it's, again, how dare you? Mm. So it makes me, I'm not going to say emotional because I am working on emotional regulation and the ability to compartmentalize. But as a mother and as a black woman and as a tax-paying, law-abiding citizen in this country, but again, I can't say Black Lives Matter because that's a trigger, but yet I'm constantly reminded every day.
You know what I think we should do? I think next time, and I don't know when the next time we're on the radio together. We'll have to figure that out because we're both off next week.
I think it's like March 22nd.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Well, yeah, because of the Bucks and
Bucks all that. And then you got
them. Busy people.
So I think, and Nick Bohr, who wrote the story on WISN, I remember mm-hmm. being a police officer and remembering Nick Bohr. Like, I remember working in radio on another channel, and Nick Bohr was there. Like, I've known Nick that long that I know, his some of his family. And I think it would be really cool to have Nick on to talk about it because he's worked that case, like, literally since day one, Alexis Patterson.
I would love to have him as a guest because I don't know what I don't know.
Yep.
I'm just, when I say I don't know what I don't know in terms of what it goes BTS behind the scenes.
Right. And he's in the media.
So I'm always open.
He's got that. He's in the media. He's got that perspective. He knows where, all the media bones are buried. And so he can really, these are things the police did. This is what I think the police should have done. All those things. I think it'd be great. He's at WISN 12.
And again, I want to be clear. Yeah. I actually agree with you on something that is very important, that every missing person matters. Every mother, every father, mm-hmm. every family deserves answers. And you're right. There's not enough. And this is also actually it came in through a recent comment on our text line, citing unlimited talking text line, 855-616-1620. And they basically said there is not a missing person case, whether it be a man, woman or child, black or white. That is not important. There's not enough airtime to cover every single one. What do you propose as a solution to this problem? And again, Dr. Kenny alluded to that earlier. You hear what you want to hear. And I'm going to just say it again because evidently I'm not conveying my message because a lot of times you hear what you want to hear. You are absolutely right. There is not enough airtime to cover every case individually. But the real question isn't whether every case matters. The question is, how do we create systems that ensure every case has a fair chance of being seen and solved? So instead of arguing about airtime, yeah, we should be focusing on solutions. And if you want to ask me, which you did, here's what I think. Law enforcement, media outlets, community organizations can partner and collaborate to maintain those regularly updated dashboards or databases that highlight missing persons in real time. That way, the coverage isn't just limited by broadcast schedules. Also, local news stations like TMJ and The Truth could dedicate a short weekly or monthly segment highlighting several of the missing person cases at once, even if it was a 60-second segment. Anything to bring attention. And then third, the big one, social media allows communities to help fill these gaps that media outlets like Dr. Ken and I, his show. So when media outlets share cases online, the public can then share those on their social media platforms, which is something you can do, dear listener. And then finally, many departments are now reopening older cases using the modern DNA technology and those digital databases. So this is what's ensuring that time and technology can work in favor of families who have waited decades for answers. So I think the real goal isn't trying to cover every case on air. The goal is to build a system where visibility, urgency, and investigative resources are not determined by the media, which is what I've said from the beginning.
And when we come back,
does that answer your question?
And when we come back, I'll talk about just that. You're listening to Truth Unfiltered, 855-616-1620, the Citing Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Denise Thomas, Dr. Ken Harris, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Truth Unfiltered.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. We got like 5 seconds left and then we're gone. So one of the things I wanted to suggest to Denise, you can go to missingkids.org or just Google National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Every child that's missing in America, every Amber Alert, they've got a cyber tip line report. They've got missing posters from all over the country and a 24-hour hotline for missing. We've got to figure out a way, and I know this might be too much, but we already got social media sending us crap we don't need anyway. Let's send them something that's significant. I think every time somebody's missing, there should be a notice sent out. There's too much criteria for, oh, well, it's got to meet this criteria for an Amber Alert, or it's got to meet this. Or we can just have something that every time somebody's missing, this is what you post. Even if it's 5 seconds to alert people, just like we do silver alerts and all those other alerts we do. I don't see why we can't do it for every single missing person. I also understand the money that it'll take because people are missing and then, you know, an hour or two later they reappear and now you got to cancel the missing. Well, let's set up, like Denise said, let's set up that system so that it's automatic. Whether you go to it on your own or you get it on your phone automatically, but something has to be done so that everybody that's missing gets out. Now, if you're a juvenile and you don't want the information out, or they have to work that out. But at some point, you know, worst case, you can always go to missingkids.org. That's the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And they do training. They tell you the issues about children like autism and kids wander and they walk towards the water, things like all those things that you need in order to help lessen people, but especially Black kids, from being missing.
Well, we will definitely, I'm sure, have more coverage regarding these missing, especially, it just hurts my heart when I read about missing children, because again, as from looking at it from a parent's lens, that is the absolute worst. I can't even, and I won't, because it's not fair to those who do have missing children to even speak on it. It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Because again, at the end of the day, we're all human.
Oh yeah.
And we definitely have that in common. Speaking of which, this is our last episode during the 2026 Black History Month. I am sure that by now you have heard that Reverend Jesse Jackson passed away on February 17th, at the age of 84. Yep. However you felt about Reverend Jackson, he definitely was a pillar in the civil rights movement and opened the door for many people that pursued a career in politics and even paved the way for Barack Obama and future candidates of color. So before Obama, there was Jesse. He ran twice for to be the Democratic national candidate during the 1988 and 1992 presidential election.
And I got a 5 second Jesse Jackson story.
Go. We'd love to hear it.
My first story in journalism in radio was an interview with the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Your first?
My very first.
Talk about a way to launch.
Yep.
That's awesome.
At age 20.
Well, that's awesome.
Don't do that. See, she was adding up the numbers. 65. Oh my God.
I don't have the capacity at this time of the evening to add up anything.
She was like,
but you know, I will say this.
Yeah.
You know, history will remember Reverend Jackson as a preacher, a presidential candidate, a protester.
Civil rights icon.
His real legacy, yes, for me, is that he refused to let America forget that democracy is unfinished business.
Yep.
And my question, and this is something that I'm sure, Dr. Ken, you and I can discuss on the show, in the upcoming shows, who's picking up the baton now?
Ooh.
Because... Our leaders, and rightfully so, they fought the good fight. They've lived and served for decades.
But it's time.
Who?
It's time for them. Yeah.
Who's next? Like, who do we have? Because it can't be Cardi B. It can't be Megan Thee Stallion.
Wait. It can't be Nicki Minaj.
It can't be Glorilla.
It can't be Nicki Minaj.
Can't be Nicki Minaj. Yeah. It can't be Kanye West.
Snoop Dogg.
Who is going to be the next? And it can't just be one. So who's picking up a baton now?
Yep. Who's even in the pipeline?
More to come.
That's a whole issue. But we got time. We got time.
Succession planning in the civil rights movement. Who's got the baton now?
Wow. I asked
because
that very
democracy.
Question. Yep.
Yeah. Democracy is unfinished business in this country. Please don't forget it.
Interesting.
And Black history is American history.
Every day.
So with that, Dr. Ken, pleasure as always. And again, we'll be back, I think, March 22nd?
Yep. And don't forget the book. Go to Amazon.
Please. The only one in the room. Forward written by Stephen M. R. Covey. Author, yours truly, Denise Thomas. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Dr. Ken, this is a great show. Thank you for your perspective as always. You can listen to Dr. Ken Harris every afternoon live. You can listen and watch him. He's pretty good looking. 4 to 6 p.m.
I think that's going to cost me another book. Okay.
Oh, it is. 101.7 FM, our sister station. Evan, thanks so much for holding it down, the ones and twos. Dr. Ken.
Thank you, Evan.
TMJ, we love y'all. Wishing you a great week. Tell somebody you love them. Make it a great week. And we'll see you on the 22nd.